Hi, this is Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop, and today I want to encourage you, no, implore you to take some downtime in the studio. Schedule in downtime for yourself in the studio, or it's going to schedule itself in for you, and you're not going to like it. This has applications in so many parts of the music and audio production process. It is super important for mixing. At a certain point, you've got to figure out ways to zoom out when you're mixing and find ways to reset your focus. And I think taking breaks is essential in this. You also have to know where your point of diminishing returns is, whether you're mixing or mastering. And this is also super crucial when it comes to working on recording sessions with other artists or as an artist yourself. You've got to know your limits and you want to stop before you hit them. And I'm going to tell you a few stories that I hope will hammer this point home. There comes a point in any day when you're working on anything that you hit the point of diminishing returns. This also has practical applications when it comes to just scheduling regular work for yourself, whether you're just in the studio or if you have another job that you're balancing your studio work with. You want to make sure that you can avoid burnout, because avoiding burnout is what's going to keep you going and keep you consistent and keep you coming back for more, coming back to do this again and again. Because ultimately, it's not any one big day that you put in to the music making process that makes you good at it or helps you kind of break through to a new level in your achievement or success or craft. It is the constant application of many days in the studio. And I'd rather have you spend more days doing less work than a smaller number of days where you're trying to get all done at once. There is a time and place for doing a ton of work all at once. But even then, you have to be smart about how you're going to structure it into the greater rhythm of your life. And I want to talk about that in just a minute. But I also want to give you some stories, like I said, that are going to really hammer this idea home for you, I hope. All right, before we get into it, a big shout out and thanks to our sponsors for this week. They include you. How do you sponsor this podcast? By smashing that like button if you're on YouTube or Facebook video versions of this podcast, or by giving it a 5-star review on the iTunes if you're listening on iTunes or any of those other formats. Your likes, your comments, your shares keep us going. And if you smash that like button, I promise to keep the sponsor section super, super brief, because all I'm going to do is say a big thanks to Gear Club. If you want more producer engineer interviews, check them out at gear-club.net. That's gear-club.net, or type in Gear Club wherever you get your podcasts. Also, big thanks to Soundtoys, sponsoring this podcast from the beginning. Check them out, soundtoys.com, making some of my favorite creative mixing effects. You can try out anything they make for free there at soundtoys.com. All right, let's get right into it. The reason I know about avoiding burnout is because I've been bad at it at other stages in my life. If it was up to me, I would work, 14 to 16 hours a day in the studio, then finish, then go to sleep because I have to or you're supposed to, and also see my wife so I wouldn't get divorced. And then I would go right back into the studio and work another 14 to 16 hours. However, I don't do that because I know life doesn't work out for me properly when I try to do that again and again, day in, day out. And you really shouldn't be working 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 hour days in the studio with a lot of regularity because you will burn out. I hope that sounds obvious and should be obvious, but I know it can be hard, particularly when you're just getting started in music production. You really could only do it part-time. You want to use every last minute of every day you get in the studio, particularly if you're paying money to work with a producer, to go to a recording studio to track your vocals or overdubs or basic drum tracks if you're in a band scenario. You want to squeeze out every last minute of value out of these sessions. And that's not untrue for those of us who do it professionally every day. We want to be able to get more records done in a day, mix more songs, master more songs, get more songs written in the week, that kind of thing. The more we're putting out there, the more we can bill, also the more accomplished we feel we are, all of that stuff. But you really are going to hit a point of diminishing returns in any single day. And I want you to start paying attention to how long you can go in the studio before you hit that point of diminishing returns. Whether you're a producer or engineer or an artist, your body is your instrument. You got to keep this thing well-oiled and in tune in order to do great work. I got to tell you that early on, I spent a lot of time in the studio on 10 and 12 hour sessions. In my 20s in particular, and doing this often with artists who were in their 20s who also wanted to spend, you know, 12 hours in the studio. And it was almost a selling point for some of the studios I worked in. Those guys over there, they're, you know, charging you X number of dollars for an 8-hour day. Well, we'll do a 10-hour day. Oh, they're charging you X number of dollars for a 10-hour day. We'll do a 12-hour day. But what happens is once you get past a certain point, those extra hours don't even get you, they don't, it's not that they don't get you bed results. They don't get you any results. The final extra takes that you're doing in those last couple of hours usually are totally wasted takes. Like, you may as well throw them away, and chances are you're coming back the next day and you're saying, well, we need to do that one again. And that happens so often. But working too long in one day can rob hours from the next day as well. Often after that 12-hour or more day in the studio, the next day you come in, you can't even do the 8 hours or so that you were hoping to do. Now you only have juice for 6 hours and you're kind of burning out and crashing earlier in the day. So by front-loading more hours onto that first day, you robbed additional hours from the second day. And you robbed yourself of having a greater number of total productive hours where you can put out really good takes, make really good critical listening decisions. Now, maybe you can work longer days with some more regularity, particularly if you are just engineering or assisting and just helping people kind of do their takes. But to any degree where you have to make critical listening decisions, you're going to compromise your ability to do that. Usually for most people, I would see this start to fade usually in less than 8 hours, particularly if they're not taking breaks. If you're taking a good long break in the middle of the day, some other incidental breaks during the day, and you're not listening crazy loud, maybe you can make good critical listening decisions longer than 8 hours. But it's unusual. And I think there's reason that there's the OSHA guidelines they have here in the United States. There's similar guidelines in other countries for maximum exposure you should have to music at a particular decibel level. And if you're listening at 80 dB or so, you really, after 8 hours, I mean, you're wearing on your body, on your instrument, your whole ear-brain mechanism. And it really is an ear-brain system that gets worn out over the course of the day and takes away your ability to make great critical listening decisions. Singers can only sing so many times, so many hours, and still have great sounding, inspired takes in them. The same is true for guitarists and pianists and drummers. I would say that in general, you can probably get 2 hours of pretty great performance out of any decent performer, as long as they don't feel frustrated in the performance. If they feel frustrated, you can reduce that number significantly. But 2 hours of really great performance out of anyone doing overdubs, I think, is totally achievable as long as they're not frustrated. Once you get more towards 3 and 4 hours out of any one person, you want to make sure that that's not all time that they're really playing, that you're putting plenty of breaks in there. But here's another thing that you want to think about. In addition to not wanting someone to plan on doing 8 hours of overdubs in a day, you can do it. It's not the end of the world. Maybe you can do it one day. You're probably not going to come back the second day and be able to deliver the same way, and definitely not the third day. Maybe you can get 8 hours out of one person overdubbing in one day, but I think it's unlikely much of the time. And here's the big other thing that you want to think about. You don't want that person to be in the studio for those full 8 or 10 hours, even if they're not overdubbing. Because when you're listening to music through a big speaker system at 80 dB, maybe 90 dB, you're wearing yourself down every minute that you're listening to music that loud. Even though it can feel energizing and exciting while you're doing it, at a certain point, anything that's energizing and exciting will start to wear on you. So in general, I would suggest if you're doing an overdub day, and say you have 3 different people scheduled in, maybe you're the engineer and or assistant, you're going to spend 8-10 hours in the studio, maybe more, and you accept the fact that your critical listening won't be ideal towards the end of the day, but that's okay in the name of productivity. If you're scheduling 3 different performers to each be in there for, say, 2 or 3 or 4 hours each, you don't want any of them there the entire day. wearing out their hearing while the other person is doing their takes. You want to keep their time in the studio ideally to more of a minimum. Because if someone's sitting around listening to music coming out of the speakers for 4 to 6 hours, and now they're supposed to put in their 2 or 3 hours at the end of the day, well, there's a pretty good chance they've worn themselves out to a degree and they're not going to be totally fresh. Now, don't take any of these numbers of hours I'm throwing out at you as gospel, because the number of hours you can go may vary. It may be 30 minutes for you. It may be 10 hours. I don't know. But I want you to find that out for yourself. I want you to know your own limits and get into the habit of stopping before you reach those limits. Not only are you going to make all of your decisions be great decisions, not only are you going to not have to go back over and do the same work again the next day when you listen to it the next day and you're like, oh man, all those decisions and all those takes at the end of the day were terrible. You're also going to maximize the time you can work the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day, instead of making your efforts in the studio sporadic. You should also think about structuring in total downtime. I know there's that whole hustle myth out there, and I can get inspired listening to Gary Vee too. It makes me want to roll up my sleeves and do some extra work and all that stuff. But that is pretty unsustainable for long periods of time. If you're planning on, say, working a day job, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, and then be in the studio like it's a full-time job 4, 2, or 3 days a week. And you expect to do that every single week, week in, week out. At a certain point, if you don't schedule in downtime, it's going to schedule itself in. And it's going to schedule itself in the form of, one, you getting sick, your body falling apart, your neck aching, your back hurting, you can't even sit in a chair, whatever it is. Or it's going to come at you in terms of relationship crisis, you know, the fact that your significant other or would-be significant other, things aren't going well there because you're not spending any time with them. That's another potential thing that can start happening. Or general loss of motivation and kind of fatigue and weariness. All these things can settle in. And if you don't schedule downtime for yourself, it will schedule itself for you. And it will come in inopportune times and for inopportune lengths of time. So preempt that stuff. Give yourself time off. And you know what? For the longest time, especially in my 20s, I thought, you know, all the federal holidays are pretty cheesy. They're for people who worked in offices. And why are these people taking off these totally random days that shouldn't even be holidays anyway? Man, I sound like Ebenezer Scrooge, but like for random Mondays off in the middle of the year. But, you know, even if you don't really feel those holidays in your bones, go ahead and either take them off, or if you're working the service industry and you really aren't going to be able to take them off, take off some other day around them. It really is a good idea to reduce your number of work days at least once per quarter. And I'm telling this to myself as much as I'm telling it to you, because even this year I worked for a couple of hours on Christmas Day and on New Year's. And it was a really bad idea. You know, there were a few extra things I got done, but I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should be managing my time better. So I took off other days that weren't Christmas and New Year's completely so that I could work a couple of hours on Christmas and New Year's. How dumb is that? So when I say this stuff sometimes, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to my own dumb self who should know better about so much of this stuff by now. So I promise you a couple stories, and I'll tell you a couple real quick. Well, first is a general story, and I can't even tell you exactly which artist, because it happened with so many artists in my 20s, where we did this thing where we would go for, you know, 12 hours, and then the last few takes in the day would be total waste, and we'd have to redo them anyway, and then the next day, we couldn't work 12 hours because we had burnt ourselves out the day before. That happened so much, and even if you're not getting burned out, someone else you're collaborating with is probably going to. But a story that always comes back to my mind was emblematic to me. It was the very first time I had worked with a female singer-songwriter who had made several records before. She was kind of established in her world. And I had a 12-hour day booked out, ready for her. And at the end of, I think it was like 6.5 hours, she's like, yeah, I guess we could do one more song, but I think we're pretty much done for the day. And I'm like, wait, what? You don't want to like milk out every dollar and every hour out of the session? You know, you don't want to totally maximize the value you're getting here? She's like, no, I'm pretty good. I'd rather just come back tomorrow and do some more tracks. You know, if we have to book an additional day at some point, you know, maybe we'll have to do it that way. And I was like, oh my goodness. And you're okay with that? You don't have to like go balls to the wall and, you know, burn the midnight oil. She's like, no, I've kind of done that before. It doesn't work that well. And I said, okay. So I was finished with the session after like 6.5 or 7 hours for one of the first times in my professional life of doing sessions. And I just felt this feeling that I hadn't felt at the end of a session in a long time, energy and readiness and excitement to come back in the studio and work on some more tunes. It was as if I had taken the advice that Ernest Hemingway liked to give on writing, which is that you should always finish writing for the day in the middle of a sentence. So that way, the next morning, you come bounding down the stairs to finish the sentence. And it was almost that same kind of thing. We left a little bit in the tank. And that idea of leaving a little bit in the tank is so profound and so useful in music and music production. It applies not just in this idea of managing your downtime and your time off, but it applies in performances as well. A really great vocal performance, for instance, is one where there's a little bit of restraint, where you know that they could, you know, belt out even more and sing even more at the top of their lungs, but they don't. They're flirting with that idea and showing you how much power there is underneath. And maybe every once in a while, just showing you kind of how far they can go towards the edge. But much of the time, they're not there. They're not balls to the wall the whole time. They're not, you know, dialing everything up to 11 constantly, because that contrast, that breathing, that give and take is a huge part of any performance. And it's a huge part of your daily life. And it's a huge part of keeping this instrument, this body and ear-brain mechanism of yours in tune and ready to go. So schedule in your downtime so that downtime doesn't schedule itself in for you. You're going to like it a lot less when the downtime schedules itself for you than if you get ahead of it, preempt it, and schedule it in yourself. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'd love to hear from you. How long can you go in the studio? What do you do? Are you a producer? Are you an engineer? Are you an artist, a performer? Give us a sense for what you do and how many hours you can go in the comments down below, or shoot me an email at podcast@sonicscoop.com. And if you want a workshop with me about better managing your time and your expectations in the studio, check out our pre-production checklist at sonicscoop.com/checklist. That's sonicscoop.com/checklist, where you can download our pre-production checklist that will help keep you on track in the studio and get you much better results every time. That's the best way to maximize your time in the studio, not by putting in extra hours, but by putting in additional planning in the beginning. So definitely check out that free checklist, sonicscoop.com/checklist. I'll put the link in the show notes down below. One more big shout out to our sponsors on this one, SoundToys. Check them out, soundtoys.com, where you can try out anything they make for free. Gear Club, check them out, gear-club.net. That's gear-club.net. Or type in Gear Club wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for hanging out with me. See you next time.